hope I'm... Thank you for inviting me again to celebrate our partnership to release children from poverty. I've been privileged to volunteer with Compassion now for more than 15 years. One of the things I enjoy most is being at festivals like New Wine and Spring Harvest, where I have the opportunity to represent Compassion and speak to people, chat with them about sponsoring, and usually they love to come and talk to me about their sponsored children, which is great. I've been speaking in churches as well for the last few years, and I come here, of course, because I'm invited, but I also come because tonight there'll be children going to bed hungry. There'll be children who get up tomorrow morning and, much as they would love to, they can't go to school. They have to go and scavenge for food on a dump, on a rubbish dump. Food to eat, maybe things to sell. That's their life. UNICEF estimates that there are, at the moment, 333 million children living in abject poverty. That's more than three times the population of England. That's why I'm here. But I'm also here because I want to say thank you to those of you who do already sponsor children. And Alistair already mentioned the word challenge. Maybe challenge those of you who don't to see if you can. I believe you currently sponsor 14 children. Yeah, that's it. There's the countries that they are from, spread across the areas that Compassion work. 29 different countries we work in, and that's South and Central America, different parts of Africa, and also in Asia as well. And now their faces. While you're looking at those, I'll just chat for a moment there. If your child that you sponsor, you can't see their face, don't worry, it doesn't mean they're not being sponsored, it just means they haven't been connected to this church. So if that is the case, come and see me afterwards and we can get that sorted out. I wonder whether some of you may have already noticed a difference. The banner that I've got this year doesn't just say sponsor a child, it says Jesus leads, we move. The idea comes from the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. Some versions use the word pity as to what the Samaritan felt when he saw the man on the ground. The New American Standard Version has the word compassion. He had compassion for him. The Message says his heart went out to him, which I think is another good translation. The opening slide talked of our combined partnership to release children from poverty. We want to stress that it's the whole body of Christ that is partnering with Jesus. But I'd like to reassure you, it is only what they call these days a rebranding. Nothing has changed. We are still sponsoring children. The strap line is still releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. A couple of years ago, before I knew about this rebranding, I read a quote from Jimmy Milardo, who's the CEO of Compassion International. Don't be afraid of that extra international bit on the end. It's just the sort of umbrella for all the different Compassion countries that work. On Facebook, Jimmy wrote, "You might think of Compassion International as a sponsorship organization. That's a beautiful part of what we do, but that one descriptor doesn't capture the fullness of our mission. We are, in essence, a church equipping child and youth development ministry, committed to the local church and to releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. That is the heart of compassion. Hallelujah. It's your sponsorship that enables churches to do what they do. It was felt that talking all the time of sponsoring a child didn't give that full picture. It's not just the child that benefits, the whole family do, the whole community do. And Compassion partners with currently probably getting on for 9,000 churches. Certainly I've heard the figure 8,800. It's growing all the time. They partner with those churches in 29 different countries, and they form what's officially called a child development centre, though we know them as projects or centres. And they use the word partners a lot. Like most organisations, they like their acronyms. They talk about FCPs, Frontline Church Partners. Your personal sponsorship and anything that comes from the churches here goes to the churches there. It's a partnership to enable them to do what they want to in their community. And to the community there, it's the church that's having this positive effect on their children and on their community. Compassion enables them to do effectively what they've shown that they have the heart to do. It's also the local church workers who choose which children are going to be registered. They don't have to be Christian. They might be Muslim or nothing at all. I sponsored a boy called Amidu in Uganda, and he was registered in the project by his Muslim father because he knew it was such a good opportunity for him. Now, back to celebrating you. Here's the impact of your partnership since 2015. Over 13,000 hours your children have been able to spend at the projects on Saturdays mainly. They've had nearly 4,500 nutritious meals. And we usually stress that word nutritious. They haven't had to go to a dump to find the food. It is good food. And when you see the plates that those children put away at lunchtime, it's amazing. They've had 78 medical checkups. Every child who is sponsored through Compassion has regular medical checkups, and so do their caregivers, what we might call their guardian. Life is fluid in a lot of these countries where there's such poverty. They don't always live with their parents. It might be an aunt who's looking after them because the parents have died, or a grandmother, or only their dad and not the mother. 15 Bibles have been given out. The children are given an age-appropriate Bible. The fact that there's more Bibles than children means they've been with them long enough to need a new one, one appropriate for their age. Your financial gifts over the last year, £6,860 sponsors from here have given. Now, I did a quick bit of arithmetic and worked out that's more than 12 months for 14 children. So there have obviously been some extra gifts as well. Thank you. And it says there 18 additional gifts. There is no pressure to give those gifts. If you are struggling already to sponsor a child and you really can't give any more, please don't worry. But if you can, the opportunity is there to give a birthday gift or a family gift. And soon, those of you sponsor will be getting the notes about the Christmas fund, because they like to give the children a gift at Christmas. And that is the one occasion where all your gift does not go to your child. For Christmas, it's different. They pool all the money so that no child is left out. So anything you give to the Christmas fund is spread amongst all the children. One thing Compassion encourages, as you will know, is writing letters. You've had 48 letters from your children in the last year, and you've sent 35. Well done. It isn't often that I find a number sent so many more than the children. It might be a little bit above the number of children, but that is good. But don't rest on your laurels. Please keep on writing. I've heard it described, the letters are oxygen for the children. They just love getting them. And these days, you can write online as well. I think it's nice for them to see your handwriting sometimes, but through the app, for example, on the phone, if you take a photo, if you're by the sea or something like that, if you're only good at selfies, take a selfie of you or get someone to take a photo, upload that on the app, write a little bit saying, we were thinking of you today when we were by the sea, hope you like the picture, send them a Bible verse, send it off, it's gone. They will be thrilled with that, and it's taken you, what, 10 minutes? Please try and think of doing that. It really does make a difference to them. I'll put their photos back up for a moment while I chat. I have a video to show you in a moment which tells about the compassion programs. Last time when I came, I sort of fitted that in with telling you a story, but I found this video which says everything very well. After that, I'd like to have a question and answer session if you have anything you'd like to ask. I have a story to tell you afterwards, and I can stretch that or squash it as much as I need for the time, so don't worry about it, but I'm very happy to answer questions if you would like me to. So this is a 5-minute video, so make yourself comfortable, but I hope you'll find it very informative. Thank you.
Compassion International is working around the world to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. But how exactly does it work? Well, come along with me and I will show you. To begin with, we love Jesus, we love the church, and we love children. Everything we do flows from there. Compassion builds relationships with churches who are already ministering to families living in poverty. The staff and volunteers at these churches know the needs in their community because they live there too. They see what children in their neighborhoods are facing, and they want to make a difference, just like you and I. Compassion staff get to know these churches. We sit down with them to understand their vision, talk about the ways we can work together, and see how compassion can come alongside them and complement what they are already doing. We offer training, financial resources, and curriculum to help expand and deepen their impact in the community. Partnership means there is collaboration. Churches receive the curriculum and adapt it to fit their context, accounting for local needs. These partner churches reach out to families in their communities, inviting children to be part of what we call a child development center. Each church chooses a project director who is responsible for planning and overseeing a team of helpers who implement every part of the program. They are committed to helping children develop holistically as God intended. So activities at the center are designed to encourage physical, mental, social, emotional, and spiritual growth. The program is integrated, meaning the church receives support to walk with children as they grow. Many of these churches start at the earliest stages of development, coming alongside pregnant moms to help them have a healthy pregnancy and delivery. Staff from the center visit new moms and caregivers in their homes to answer questions and offer ideas to help them and their babies thrive. Home visits continue as infants grow into toddlers. As children get older, they attend activities at the Child Development Center.
Buenas tardes, niños.
Buenas tardes!
Staff and tutors there lead children through lessons and activities that help them grow holistically. They get to know children personally, help them through challenges at school and at home. As children grow into adolescence and youth, they learn skills that will help them be successful in life, like time management, how to have healthy relationships, and vocational skills. Churches also support parents and caregivers to improve stability at home. They may offer classes that promote literacy, healthy discipline, and skills to earn an income. Churches also identify specific problems that are hindering child development and work with compassion on solutions, like sourcing clean water, providing mosquito nets, vaccines, building latrines, and constructing classrooms at the church. When children in the program face urgent medical needs or their communities are affected by disaster, the church responds. During the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic, church partners around the world delivered food to the families who could not work during the quarantine. Compassion provides encouragement and financial support so our church partners can be salt and light during these critical times. Interventions like these, and in fact, all community activities, vary from church to church because children face unique challenges in each community. Over time, as each partnership grows, churches are encouraged to explore local resources and begin developing a plan for self-sufficiency. The beautiful thing about partnering with the local church is that they have roots in their community. When challenges arise, like a disaster or health crisis, the church is already there, identifying needs and working to bring relief, recovery, and healing, all while carrying the greatest message of eternal hope in Jesus. Throughout this journey, Compassion invites supporters to connect with what these churches are doing by investing in children's holistic development financially and relationally. Together, we are a team that surrounds these children and youth. Every voice that speaks value into their lives matters. The church is vital. They are the heart of the community and messengers of the gospel. Compassion partners with more than 8,000 churches worldwide. Our missions intersect by God's design. He invites and empowers each of us to play a role. So, what is your role? We invite you to join these churches as they help children become all that God created them to be.
Thank you so much for coming to see our project. God bless you all.
I hope that gives you a good picture of what goes on. Before I carry on, has anybody got any questions? Anything that's reminded you of that you've always been wondering or anything? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is there any way of knowing how they progress, as it were?
No, we can't do that. Oh, I see, sorry. Yes. Kerry just asked about what happens when a child leaves the project. It can be as young as 16 in some of the South American countries. Some places it's 18, in African countries it's 22. It depends on the culture, really, when they think that the children have reached adulthood. So it does vary. But no, when that happens to you, when your child reaches that age, you will get an email from Compassion explaining what's going on. It could be, as I've had happen, that a child has, well, no longer a child, are they? A young person has got a job and just stopped going to the project. Sometimes it might be that they've found a job in a nearby village or town and they've moved away. So it can be a little bit untidy at the end, and Compassion just have no way, no resources to be able to chase up that child. If it's possible, they will write you a last letter, and the word they use then is that they have graduated, they've finished the course that Compassion have for them. So if it isn't as tidy as you would like, then please bear with them. They do their best, but things are so fluid in a lot of these places, it's just not possible to do that. Anything else? If you think of anything while I'm talking in the next bit, please stick your hand up. I don't mind being interrupted. As I say, I've got some more I can tell you, so I'll go on into that. I'd like to just quickly tell you a story of Emily. Last time I was here, I talked about Peter in Kenya. This is Emily from Uganda. That's the first photo I saw of her when she was aged 8. I was living in Royston at the time, and I was part of a group that was supporting her in Royston. And that's something to have in your minds. It doesn't have to be one person or a family. If you've got a friend that can help you do it, or a house group, whatever, it is possible to do that. I then got the opportunity to visit her later that year. And that's a couple of the pictures of me meeting her in June 2014. If you could see those pictures a bit closer, you'd probably notice that her left eye isn't quite opening as much. And I asked one of the social workers that was there, I said, has Emily got a problem? And before I could even finish or mention her eye, they said, oh, do you mean her eye? Yes, she's having treatment. It's been worked on. And that was quite reassuring. They do find what's wrong, if anything, with the children and will deal with it. That was the photo on the right was inside their church where we sat, and all of us who were there were going to be introduced to the parents and the children who were there. When I got home, I found this photo. I've put a little red ring round me in that photo. So I thought, I didn't take that, I'm up on the front. And the only thing I can think of is Emily picked up my phone while I was up the front, my camera rather, wasn't a phone then, picked up my camera and took that picture very cheekily. So I have a picture of me at the front, but I just thought it was a lovely, lovely thing that she'd done. I also had a home visit while I was there. On the left, I was there in her home. It was a long, low building, quite a sturdy building, split into 4 or 5 different units, if you like. But each of those was just one room that they divided with a curtain. You can see that lovely pink curtain there. In that photo, I'm explaining about some photos that I took to her. The guy on the left is a translator, because sometimes the families aren't fluent in English. They have lots of different local dialects. So I'm showing the photos. You can just make out Emily right next to me and her mum then on the end. On the right was when we came out and we were on our way back to get our minibus back to the centre. And at that point, things changed. The project worker on the right in the yellow T-shirt, she just came up beside me gently and said, that wasn't Emily's home. Her mum had borrowed that home for us to have our visit because she was so embarrassed she hadn't got enough furniture for us to sit on in their home. And that was a real eye-opening moment. And I know really that God had put a check on me in that room, because we're encouraged to be complimentary, if we can, about people's houses. Sometimes it'll be a dirt floored hut, and there may be one thing they've got as a decoration, and we're encouraged to comment on it and say how nice it is. But something didn't seem right about that house. It felt too good for the situation that I knew Emily and her mum were in. I think there were shirts hanging up. And it just sort of went through my mind, perhaps she does washing to make some money. But anyway, soon afterwards, I found out what it was. So when I went home, back to the group in Royston, we talked about it and we sent some money. Around about £70, I think it was, as a group. And we had these two photos. What they'd done was they bought cement and bricks and sand. And there's a picture of Emily with them. And they were going to build a house. Now that is the area that they were going to build in. So they'd obviously had it delivered in that place. And when I went out again in 2018, they had a new house. Emily had her own bed with a mattress and a mosquito net. £70 had done that. I don't know whether they built it themselves. I don't think there was a father on the scene. There's an elder brother and a baby. But how it was built, I'm not sure. But they had this new house. Around it was some land that I think was there as well, theirs as well. And they were growing crops. Her mum had almost started a little business selling the things that she was able to grow. That's what sponsorship can do. Her mum was a very smart-looking lady, and this gave her the opportunity to do what she was able to do. I also had the sad news as I was coming away from there, in one way, good in another, that Emily might have to leave the project because they were now doing so well. She didn't need sponsorship anymore. So I was sort of preparing myself for that. It didn't happen, which I believe was because her mother then became ill. I had little bits in letters that her mother wasn't well. She sounds as if she's fine again now. But that's the sort of thing that can happen as well. Two more later pictures of Emily. The one on the left in 2022, and the one on the right was earlier this year. She looks a lovely young lady there, doesn't she? But she's also a footballer. At the start of 2023, she told me she was hoping that their team would get into the Women's Premier League in Uganda. Then she was called up for the under-17 national team for the World Cup qualifications. In 2024, she only mentioned training, so I guess she was concentrating a bit more on her schoolwork. Then I heard she was the school team captain, and they were ranked third in the country. Then I hear she's playing in the Uganda Women's Cup final. This was just a couple of months ago, and I haven't heard yet how they got on. She was also taking her equivalent of O-levels at that time. She's 20, she'd just turned 20. So to us that seems a bit late, but to them it is a great achievement to get that sort of study. What she will go on to do, I think she'd love to be a professional footballer. Whether the opportunities are there, I don't know. But I thought that's just a little bit of a different picture of what can happen from that tiny little scrap of a girl that I met when she was, I think she had just turned 9 when I met her, to how she is now, the change that sponsorship has made in her life. Any more questions before I finish? Okay. I mentioned at the start the huge number of children living in poverty. And perhaps like me, you feel when you hear that sort of number, what can I do? Well, sponsorship gives us the opportunity to do something, something life-changing, something world-changing. I've got with me the details of these two little people, Useni from Burkina Faso, and Ekua Apoa, and I apologize if I've got her name wrong, from Ghana. Useni is 6 and Ekua Apoa is 13. They are eagerly awaiting news that they've found a sponsor, that there is somebody who will make a difference in their life. There's more children out there as well. There are thousands still waiting to be sponsored. I assure you, as well as making a difference in their life, it would be a difference in your life too. I would encourage you, if you possibly can, to make that investment of £32 a month. Only you and God know whether that would be a small sacrifice, a big sacrifice, or entirely impossible. I've heard people say that they manage the sponsorship by giving up a takeaway a month. And from what I've seen in the five countries that I've visited, I can't think of a better way of spending that money. Perhaps you already sponsor a child and God's challenging you to stretch a bit to sponsor another one. Or as I said a few minutes ago, perhaps you have a friend or a group that could sponsor the child. If God is leading you to do this, to move with compassion, or you'd like to know more, please come and see me afterwards. Finally, thank you. You are making a big, life-changing difference. Thank you.
Well, Steph will be available, and there's a table set up in the back hall with some material about compassion, and of course Steph will make herself available to talk to anybody. Let's just hold this moment and bring it before the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, you rebuke your disciples because they stopped people from bringing the children to you. You said, let the children come to me. Do not oppose them. Do not resist them. Do not get in their way. And Lord, you often spoke about how we all need to be like little children, because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, belongs to such as them. Lord, we've been challenged today to hear how much good can be done with what might seem so little, but for us it might also seem a lot. But Lord, we ask you to shake us up, wake us up, maybe to challenge us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, sometimes it seems like we're powerless and we don't know what to do, we don't know who to trust. But we thank you for organizations like Compassion UK and Compassion International, who have done the hard work for us and are working in partnership with believers and churches throughout the world, where money just doesn't disappear, but it goes to actively help and transform the lives of children and their families, not in isolation, but in community. Lord, speak to us and show us what you desire from us. Lord, may we too be people of compassion, even if it inconveniences us, even if it costs us. Lord, may we be people of compassion in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll ask Mark and the worship team to lead us in a song of celebration and worship.
Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Our Father God is the sovereign over all. He is good, he is powerful, and he is filled with compassion. So let's turn to him in faith, casting our carers upon him with persistence and thanksgiving, remembering all the ways he has helped us in the past. As we pray, we echo the words of the Lord's Prayer, calling on our Father in heaven to bring his kingdom, provide for our needs, and lead us in the grace and truth. Thank you for taking time.
Love could remember no wrongs we had.
mercy is born. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is born. Praise the Lord, his mercy is born. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is born.
What patience.
What patience would wait as we constantly roam. What Father with tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Praise the Lord.
To poverty, trusting that all things are possible for you. Please help us examine our own hearts and actions so that we would live with integrity towards others and bring about fairer societies. We see through our church partners the transformational power of enabling people opportunities to overcome the barriers of poverty. Please bless the work of compassion to be a means for seeing an end to poverty. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, the children are back. And I've got a microphone here. Who shall I hand the microphone to?
A child.
Not me.
Not you.
So who? Not Isaiah.
Okay, who wants to go? Oh, we've got an eager volunteer. Who wants to? Tell us what you've been learning. Tell us
so
what you've been doing.
Today we have a tablespoon because it... A teaspoon, because like there's three letters that represent something.
Okay.
Thank you, sorry, and please.
Thank you, sorry, and please. TSP. Tablespoon. Teaspoon. Teaspoon. Yeah, a teaspoon.
Thank you for the Lord in the name. Pray for God. And pray for everyone in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Trays here. So what did we learn about? What did you learn about?
They built a house on the rocks.
Ah, okay. So we've got two houses.
When the house got on the sand, the water
wash the house away.
When the house was built on the rocks, the house stayed on the rocks because the water was rising, but it didn't get up to where the house was.
Oh, wow. Okay, anybody else wants to say something? That's all. Oh, wait, no, we've got one, Gertrude. Okay, so we have the final word.
Thank you for our lives.
Amen. Amen. Something else to say? Okay, no. Your brother? No. Sister? No. Okay, shall I take that? Oh. Okay. All right. Great. Well, didn't the children do amazingly well? Yeah. And I think that's so important that we remember what Jesus said, to build our lives not on the wet sand or on the sand. When the rains come, it gets washed away. The house on the sand fell flat and went splat, but to build on the rocks. Okay, and we've been hearing about children around the world who need our help in order that they can build their lives on the rock in the help of their families and churches and communities, and not on the sand too. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, boys and girls. You've been amazing. Thank you, helpers, Helen and Pam and Tracy. Thank you very much. And we'll put those away before Adrian starts playing in the sand, making a mess. We'll get the toys out, get the cars, you know, brum, brum, brum. I used to love doing that. Yeah, no jelly babies. Anyway, thank you, boys and girls. You've been wonderful, and thank you to your teachers. Remember the teaspoon? T-S-P. Thank you, sorry, and please. Okay. Thank you to Steph. Thank you for... as I said earlier, she'll be available. There's a table set up in the back room, and she'll be there, and she'll be able to talk more and answer questions about Compassion UK and the practical things that we can do to help children move out of poverty and have a much better future for them and their families. Anyway, thank you all for coming. For those of you who have been at home or on Zoom, bless you. Have a great week. Don't forget all our usual meetings as usual, and see you next time. God bless you. Amen. If you want to stay for refreshments, you're welcome. Please talk to Steph if you need to rush and be somewhere else. We bless you in Jesus' name. Take care. And thank you, everybody. Thank you.